My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 1st Congressional District. Due to redistricting, he'll be running for re-election in a different numbered district. But today we want to get his thoughts on the latest hearings before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on the issue of the Fast and Furious investigation, as once again lawmakers heard from Attorney General Eric Holder, who's been under a tremendous amount of fire for the gunwalking program that resulted in the death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent, as well as hundreds of folks across the border in Mexico as a result of those weapons getting in the hands of drug cartel members. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Has the plot advanced at all as a result of what we saw today? Obviously, a lot of pointed questions for the Attorney General. Democrats, for the most part, defending him, saying this was a election year witch hunt type of thing. What did we learn today?
Well, first of all, I was very disturbed by the opposition, particularly on the other side of the aisle, talking about the consequential collateral damage. And for us in Arizona, it's sad because we're going to live with this. There are over 1,500 guns still out there. We won't find those unless they're at a crime scene. And that's the sad part about this is the seriousness in which it shows itself. The Attorney General still is evasive. He still hasn't put the necessary firepower to who and how this was accomplished, nor helping us to integrate help at the border level and in Arizona.
Right now, one of the big issues, of course, is his invoking of executive privilege because there are still, I think Congressman Burton said, over 90,000 documents that have yet to be turned over to the committee. And at this point, it doesn't look like they're going to voluntarily do that. What do you suspect is in there? What is the critical portion of these documents that you think you need to learn about here?
Well, I think that it was exposed today that even he did not understand or have a full breadth of the ramifications of higher up Department of Justice, trying to say that there was nobody really in justice who really had their hands on it. And I think Congressman Gowdy, who was a ATF prosecutor, was very articulate and very forthright in a timeline with the proof and evidence that we're starting to see that Lanny Brewer and Weinstein were definitely involved and had knowledge of this program way before they testified. It's also not just the documentation of paperwork, but the individuals. Mr. Holder incorrectly cited that previous administrations did not allow in-line attorneys to come forward and speak. And he was shown opposite of that. So he's very careful about trying to cite something, but he's been very inappropriately wrong in regards to those sightings. And I think that what we need to do is they quoted that we had well over 5,000 pages. Well, most of that is duplicative. We're seeing the same thing over, just adding another person, and it's severely redacted. We need to do our job, so we need to see who's implicated and make sure that we have all the facts so that we can make sure this never happens again.
Congressman, what's the latest on the timeline in terms of when and what Attorney General Holder knew? Originally, of course, he said he didn't know about this until long after the murder of Brian Terry. Then he said he knew about it a little bit earlier. Now sounds like he knew about it pretty much right after it happened. So how does that change what's going on here?
Well, I think once again, this brings the limelight again. It refocuses the limelight to makes him accountable, makes the Department of Justice accountable. The chairman was very forward at the very beginning that contempt clause or contempt citations may be coming here very quickly, so that we can do our job and to the full breadth of the law. It also shows that we have the availability or should be given the availability to know of all these people who have been transferred out of Arizona on the Arizona level in regards to who all knew this, because it's obvious that upper-level justice definitely knew about this. And I got to tell you, I find it what really shocked me was that when we have a border agent who's killed, that we have a dysfunctional attorney general who didn't inquire how things happened and why, and didn't put the veracity of the law behind it to find out what the heck is going on. And the second part is that lower levels weren't talking to each other. This is absurd, absolutely absurd. It shows that our Department of Justice is running amok.
We're talking with Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar. And Congressman, the Attorney General got quite a few pointed questions from your side of the aisle, as we already mentioned. And on one of his responses, he basically wanted to know why he wasn't getting more credit for the things that he believes he's done right, claiming that he inherited a Department of Justice in shambles from the Bush administration. What did you make of his defense in response to the many calls for him to either consider or flat out step down?
Well, I think we still need to step down because this Attorney General's office is in shambles. First of all, when we look at voting rights issues across this country, from the Black Panthers to the states asking for just some semblance of voting right identification just to vote, it's inappropriate. This Attorney General has shown his true colors over time to pick and choose the laws that he wants to enforce and those that he doesn't want to enforce. And he's very willy-nilly about being a hands-on Attorney General, yet he doesn't know any of the facts and doesn't read his memos. I think it's outrageous. This actually showed disdain for the process, the position of the Attorney General, and I would happily dispute that what he's done as Attorney General is actually very void of what the position really should be doing.
I believe it was the ranking Democrat on the committee, Congressman Cummings of Maryland, in his opening statement, who wanted to know why Chairman Issa had not been more aggressive about questioning former Attorney General Michael Mukasey about Operation Wide Receiver, which was a much smaller, well, he would claim to be a forerunner of Operation Fast and Furious. What do you know about that, and how much of a focus of this investigation should that be, do you think?
Well, first of all, we do know under the Bush administration we had an operation called Wide Receiver, smaller numbers of guns, 400, worked in concert with the Mexican government, unlike this one. It didn't tell the Mexican government, it actually kept them in the dark. They used surveillance and tracking in concert with Mexican officials and still lost guns. That came to its fruition and end in about 2007, and this administration must have known about it because they allowed it to occur. I also want to tell people, let's go back in time to Mr. Holder when he makes a comment in Mexico City in April of 2009. He talks about getting aggressive with gun running. And, you know, from what he told us today, that he would not permit it, but really doesn't put down the heavy-handedness of the full burden of the criminal code against those that actually do it. So they're mixing apples and apples. And when you're talking in the exchange with Congressman Gowdy, they were talking about 1,500 guns with Mr. Weinstein and Brewer, talking about articulately knowing where they're at, and they tried to confuse it with Operation Wide Receiver, which obviously it is not. And, you know, this is just brings us to the point. This is supposed to be transparent, a transparent government, a transparent president, a transparent attorney general. Produce the documents. If you have nothing to hide, let them go. You have nothing to hide.
Congressman, you were the first one to alert us a number of months ago about the other dimension to this story that has since been borne out, much of what you told us, and that's that in addition to the gun walking, the fact that the government kind of arm-twisted legal and legitimate gun dealers to let those guns go and they wouldn't normally was part of a plan to eventually impose stronger gun control laws in this country in supposed outrage to the fact that those guns got from those dealers across the border into the hands of the cartels. Anything in the documents that have been released that give you more insight on that?
New gun laws in this country really don't, especially long guns and the sales of them, really don't put this off. That doesn't make this better because all the FFLs, the federal firearm licensees, were working in cooperation. In fact, repeatedly, several of them spent time writing letters, emails, phone calls saying, are you sure that something's wrong here? I don't want to sell this rifle to this person. They said, they're on the list, sell the rifle. This is the double jeopardy that I'm so concerned about in which ATF has overstepped itself. And it always seems that this administration always wants to make an example and fit the bill later on down the line when there's a spectacle made. It just so happened that, and it's such a sad coincidence, that Officer Terry lost his life to bring this to a close before they could actually do that.
Last question before we let you run, Congressman. Where does this go from here?
Well, I think that the chairman was very direct to the attorney general that these documents need to come forward. Otherwise, contempt will be filed. We need to have better access. And particularly, my concern is the people that were in Arizona who took the fifth, those people that had been transferred from Arizona moving forward, and the collaboration of documents that shows what happens as well as the interview. Those are the things that now we have to start looking at, because it's obvious that Lanny Brewer and Jason Weinstein, so two very close people to the Attorney General, knew intimate details about this, and they haven't been forthright. And I think the Attorney General, even his chief of staff, knew intricate details. And we need to make sure that we have an Attorney General's office, a Department of Justice, that's working favorably, works cohesively with all other agencies to make sure that America is protected, the Constitution is protected, and ultimately the individuals who depend upon their safety from the Department of Justice are getting that.
Congressman, we'll be following as it continues. Thank you very much for taking the time on a busy day to be with us.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you so very much.
Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents his state's 1st Congressional District, also a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.